Alright, welcome to the Grazz Files members, and I'm plugging in here on Monday night, the 17th of October 2022 for the Nightwatch podcast with Adam. Hope you guys are doing fine out there wherever you may be in strange times, eh? To say the least. But we move forward here and we do it together, and it's great to be doing real independent media here in Sydney, Australia, and having you guys on board and keeping active on the website, and for your support and ongoing support is absolutely wonderful. Here, shouting me a cup of coffee a month really does help, and expenses going up, you know, and I've been doing work on the website lately and switching things around, and it isn't cheap, and you guys really helped me to do that, so I'm keep independent. That's a really important thing, and keep the conversation going. So, as I said, hope you guys are doing fine. Thank you so much for your support. This is the Nightwatch podcast with Adam, and this is where I just plug in and go over all the latest news and bits and pieces and things in front of me. Scott will be on for a podcast in the morning to continue with his great research, so I hope you guys can have a listen to that. I'm pretty sure Dawn will be back on Wednesday night this week, and also John Hamer is plugging in with me on Thursday night as well. Did speak with Johnny Cerucci today, which is great, and hopefully he can be back with me next weekend. Poor old Johnny. And then we can continue our podcast after that bad luck. And as I said, just keep on active on the website and have a look for these Nightwatch podcasts. Very active indeed. If you do miss any Nightwatch podcasts, just go to the blue members tab up there in the website and drop that down. You'll see the Nightwatch podcast with Adam in there and other podcasts. So all of them will be in there. And we fixed up the carousel slider over there in the members area today. It was freezing on the mobile phone. Maybe it was just for me, I don't know, but we've put a different one in, so that's all up there as well. Get into the members area on the Grazz Files website too, and get in there and have a chat. And we're on Telegram as well, of course. So few bits and pieces popping up today to cover, definitely. There's always things, isn't there? And amazing how many people out there in the world, I'm not picking on people, I'm just saying how many people aren't willing to even have a conversation anymore. you know, it's pretty amazing. I know a lot of people feel like that in their lives with relatives and friends who are just not interested. Or, you know, they may be full of those jabs, and they're following the government and mainstream media line, and it can be difficult. So it's good that we can find this time to come in here and have our chats as we move forward into the year. Incredible. I've got a whole bunch of articles, you know, that have popped up all over the place. Really worth covering anyway and talking about. Considering, you know, last night's Nightwatch podcast, talking about the Pfizer CEO and the jabs and all the and how they're going to be manufacturing more of these jabs. Obviously, maybe to keep people alive. It's a real worry, isn't it? Indeed. This one I find is very interesting, because I did put an article up about school children in the United States, but obviously school children everywhere being poisoned by the food that they're eating in the schools, for example, GMOs and all this pesticide-laden food. And this is something that we forget about, our toxic world, environment around us, you know. We really do, because, you know, we're centering and concentrating so much on the mRNA jabs and everything, but we do sometimes forget that there's this whole other attack going on against us that is very, very serious, and not enough people really talking about it. So this was a really good article from TOTT News today. And it is, Australia is filled with dangerous pesticides banned in other countries. And I know this for a fact as well. They still put all this fox bait and rabbit bait all over the place, all around our parklands and stuff, that's banned in most countries around the world. I think it's banned in the US as well. They just probably just sell it all to the stupid Australian government, which makes sense. In one of the most beautiful countries in the world, but they trash it. was interesting to see online, you know, the Tourism Australia commercials. They got these new Tourism Australia sort of international advertisements and campaign with a little kangaroo to promote coming here. And, you know, it was just interesting how people were saying that kangaroos are considered a pest and they're slaughtered, they're butchered, they're ground up for dog feed, and people eat them, you know, and all this sorts of stuff. If people knew the reality of what goes on in this country, you know, but they sell that fluffy, nice image, don't they, to the world. It's unbelievable. So now everything's normal, folks, and they want you to come and visit Australia, you know. Everything's okay after what we did to people. I wouldn't fucking give them a cent. If you're overseas, don't fucking come here, and don't give them 1 cent of your money. Don't waste your money here after what these bastards did. We've got to deal with this internally, and if we don't, we're in big trouble. But don't fall for their bullshit lies. This is a dark paradise, indeed. And you scratch a little bit below the surface, and it's just rotting cancer. I'm telling you. And good article. Haven't had a chance to post too much today, probably just one. Been doing some fix-ups on the website, so a bit hard. But yeah, Australia continuing to use toxic pesticides prohibited in many, many countries. And with we use almost double the number of authorised products compared to the UK, for example. So this is a chemical attack on all of us in this country. In recent years, we have seen significant backlash against dangerous chemicals like Roundup. All the neighbours, people around it, they're always using it. This Roundup stuff is unbelievable. So this has caused tens of millions of dollars to be awarded to affected farmers and consumers. But Roundup is far from the only chemical we should be concerned with. In fact, Australia is littered with a range of pesticides and toxic substances found in numerous products. Shockingly, a dozen of them have been found to be banned in other jurisdictions like EU and US because they are harmful to human health or cause significant environmental damage. So all pesticides approved for use in Australia are regulated by the Australian Pesticides and Veterinary Medicines Authority. Certain pesticides that are available are no longer in use overseas, so Australia authorises the use of 144 highly hazardous pesticides, compared with 73 permitted in the UK, for example. This includes the highly poisonous chemical paraquat, which has been banned in more than 50 countries, including the UK. Paraquat, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, folks. Paraquat or paraquat, maybe, I don't know. It's paraquat. It's a herbicide that is widely used by farmers to save labor and protect against invasive weeds and produce all the important crops like soy and corn and cotton. Yeah, soy and corn are so important to produce, aren't they? It's unbelievable. They're poisoning our waterways and they're poisoning our soil and our topsoil, and this is going in everywhere, and it's going into our feed and we're eating it. It's going into our bodies, you know, and our animals. It's poisoning the very fabric of life. And what is it to do? I mean, what is it all about? Well, it's to produce corn and soy. You know what I mean? So you can see how wrong we have it. We have it so wrong because we're causing this massive toxic mess to produce toxic waste that humans shouldn't be eating. You should never be eating corn. That is ridiculous. Your body doesn't even break it down. It comes out the same. The stuff's disgusting. That is not food. And soy is just shocking. You know, people don't know the soy plant in nature actually sterilizes prey over time. And this is what they're giving to children. Parents actually give their children soy milk because they think it's going to be healthier than normal milk. Well, normal milk is not healthy at all. It's dead, especially if it's, you know, it's homogenized and pasteurized and heat treated. It's dead. But raw milk is a good option. But I don't know, people and vegans and all this, they think that having soy milk is going to be better for them. I can't understand that at all, why anyone would drink that disgusting rubbish. It's so bad. And the pesticides they've got to spray on these things like soy and stuff is absolutely outrageous. I was reading articles, I think, years ago about that in Argentina, because Argentina grow all this soy. I think they're one of the world's largest producers, and all the deformities and health problems in the communities and the children and everything. This is what we saw with polio, pesticides causing polio. But don't worry, they're gonna blame it on a virus. So this is the way that the pharmaceutical corporations and the big industry work together, and they cover each other's asses. You know, it's unbelievable. They've always done that. Toxic to humans. Unbelievable that we're doing this to our planet and to our health to produce soy and corn. It just makes you shake your head. You hang your head in shame. Researchers linked it to negative impacts on aquatic ecosystems, and it is highly toxic to humans, being linked to chronic diseases like Parkinson's. It's in Australia, this one, paraquat has been under review by the APVMA since the 1990s and is still being used commercially. Yeah, I've seen that one actually. Paraquat or Paraquat 250, yeah, the big tub of it. I guess the urban commandos and shit put it on their backs and spray it everywhere to make the, you know, to according to reports, it can only be sold to people who have completed the appropriate training. In this case, an agricultural chemical user certificate by licensed resellers, but it's not banned just to the general public. Other common herbicide found are is atrazine, a chlorinated triazine systemic herbicide that is used to selectively control annual grasses and broadleaf weeds before they emerge. Unbelievable, isn't it? Again, we're using toxic, absolutely toxic chemicals and pesticides that's going into our waterways and poisoning the earth around us and poisoning us and giving people, you know, all sorts of, sickness problems. And this is just so people can control a bloody weed. I mean, really? These are just two of the examples. So there's 12 banned substances being used on Australian food crops, animals, and the consumer products. So those ones and more. And it lists them all here. Indeed, a chemical attack is occurring at all facets of life and has been for many decades now. And Australia seems to be the worst place in the Western world. Well, it is. With little to no regulation here outside of Roundup, which has only recently had action taken, most remain oblivious to other dangers. In fact, in some areas, this country is actually encouraging such toxic transformations. Australia, the Wild West. Authorities here in Australia have a tendency to do whatever they want to, however they want to, and only take action when something is discovered against them. Let's take a look at the recent mice plague that hit Australian farms, for example. We were talking about this as desperation rose. Then Deputy Premier of New South Wales, John Barilaro, what a wanker, called for an immediate solution of widespread outdoor use of the highly toxic rodent side, bromadiolone, also known as napalm for mice. It's nice, isn't it? So the only problem was the lack of care for any the only problem with the napalm for mice was the lack of care for the environmental damage that it was being caused. That was being caused there. So mouse plague poison kills dozens of birds in New South Wales. Around the world, bromadiolone is, I think it's, let me, I'm squinting, bromadiolone. Let me bring that up, is heavily restricted to mainly indoor use. usually by professionals because of the risk of mass death to native wildlife such as eagles, owls, falcons and many other animals. But in Australia, she'll be right, mate, let her rip and spray it everywhere. State governments also routinely use dangerous chemicals for environmental weed management. New South Wales region set for Roundup spraying, so just spray it everywhere. Put it in your coffee in the morning, squirt it in your mouth for some, you know, it's better than breath mints. As in, they couldn't be bothered or don't have the resources to manage the forests on the ground, so they just fly over the top and spray chemicals over everything. South Australia to lift ban on GMO crops. So the South Australian government is seeking to lift the state's long-standing ban on genetically modified crops beginning next year, according to proposed changes to an existing moratorium, and mainland farmers would be given the freedom to choose to plant for the first time since 2003. So basically to ruin their crops and be sucked in and slaves of these big Monsanto corporations. All of this is part of the larger agenda of mass endocrine system disruption, including a plethora of harmful products that aren't banned but still have devastating effects on humanity. And of course, the major category in this attack system is ultra-processed foods and drinks. Recently, a group of international scientists have produced what they call the NOVA definition of four classes of food, from items presented in their natural state to the ultra-processed, which are, they say, industrial formulations, typically with five or more and usually many ingredients. These include substances not commonly used in culinary preparations and contain additives whose purpose is to imitate sensory qualities of natural foods, such as fruit. They are, says Professor Carlos Monteiro from the University of Brazil, give us a look here. Squinting, let me bring this up. Carlos Monteiro from the University of Brazil, intrinsically unhealthy. Ultra-processed products often promote overconsumption, and studies show that ultra-processed products now dominate the food supplies of various high-income countries and are increasingly pervasive in lower, middle and upper middle income countries. This is the food industry feeding us lies. Citizens across the world must personally reclaim these systems that have effectively been corporatized, and to the great detriment of health and the planet and our democracy. Yeah, it really is sick, isn't it? Really sad, man. Really sad. Indeed. They're spraying this stuff everywhere, and as I always said, this so-called government in this country and all these people running things, they're laughing their asses off at us. They don't give a shit, man. It's all part of the plan. Really is sick. I always say, you know, we're just like a company, aren't we? You know, you've never seen anything like it in your life. So much disrespect for the natural world around us. By these people who call themselves a government in this country, and they don't give a shit. Just reading this before, which was interesting, from Activist Post, the food crisis of 2023 is going to be far worse than most people would dare to imagine. I am trying to sound the alarm about this as loudly as I can. The global food crisis just continues to intensify and things are going to get really bad in 23. As you will see below, 2/3 of European fertilizer production has already been shut down. Currency problems are causing massive headaches for poor nations that need to import food. Global weather patterns continue to be completely crazy, and the bird flu is killing millions upon millions of chickens and turkeys all over the planet. We'll discuss this a little bit more on the next shows as well, because what is really killing these chickens all over the planet? And what we need to understand most of all is that this food crisis, as this article is saying, is manufactured, completely manufactured. And so is this war in Ukraine. It's all manufactured to restrict the flow of these fertilizers that export around the world as well. And there's no end in sight. So it's interesting to bring this up. I don't know what our listeners are seeing in their parts of the world. It really seems like a perfect storm, doesn't it? Really the perfect storm has been all this COVID-19 and stuff. I mean, really unbelievable for global food production, and that perfect storm is only going to get worse in the months ahead. Global hunger has been on the rise for years, and the UN's World Food Program is warning that we are heading for yet another year of record hunger. The world is at risk of yet another year of record hunger as the global food crisis continues, all manufactured, of course. Very, very interesting. Really messing with people's minds, aren't they? Telling us all this stuff, you know. I'm not seeing it too much here. I mean, there seems to be enough food and everything going around. I mean, prices are going up, but it doesn't seem too bad here. But hey, this is sort of in Australia. I don't know what's going on all over the world, but there seems to be massive headaches going on anyway. This is going to be one to watch indeed. Someone posted me this, moving on anyway, with our articles tonight from Abrupt Earth Changes. This was in the Kras Files members area in the chat. Just a short read. I don't know, I can't confirm this personally. It says, caught death by corona vaccination is legally considered as death by suicide. It says here, in Germany, accident insurance companies refuse to pay for consequential damages caused by corona vaccination. Like in France, and the family of a grandfather who grandfather who died from the COVID vaccination sued the life insurance company after it refused to pay out. I'm squinting here, it's very small. The reason given was that the policy expressly excluded the payment of claims in the event of death from COVID vaccine. In court, the insurance company was proven right. The court's ruling was then reasoned as follows. Taking a fatal risk is legally considered a suicide. Since the harmlessness of the vaccination has not yet been proven, the vaccination of the grandfather thus corresponded with a voluntary participation in an experiment of the COVID vaccination at his own risk. The side effects, in this case of death, he had accepted approvingly, and thus it was self-inflicted. If, according to the court, voluntary participation in this experimental vaccination is considered suicide, what would a state-mandated mandatory vaccination be? This is really interesting, too, because you've on one hand, you've got the point where this thing is going to either kill you or ruin your life or give you a heart attack, and the whole planet knows it. So how stupid would you be to go and take it? This is the incredible thing, you know? I mean, these people that are going and they're taking these COVID-19 injections and they're either dying or getting incredibly sick or having heart failure and heart attacks and all these problems, would these people intentionally commit suicide? You know, I guarantee you they wouldn't. So why are they doing this? When the legal system out there, as we're reading here, are considering this suicide by taking these COVID-19 injections, and you either die or you're putting yourself at risk and you could die after taking this jab. And it's this is unbelievable. Death by corona vaccination is like death by suicide. I think we've kind of been mentioning this a lot, you know, that if you take these COVID-19 injections, you're really committing suicide. And I've always said this as well, that the system itself is not forcing you to do anything. It's just pressuring you using massive amounts of propaganda and fear-mongering to get these jabs. But they're not actually forcing you. But these things are so dangerous and could pretty much kill you outright. And if you go and get one jabbed in your arm, you're really committing suicide in a way. But why would anyone want to commit suicide when they wouldn't normally do that in any other instance in their life? Court in France ruled death from COVID vaccine suicide. Life insurance companies refusing to cover vaccine deaths. Is this what you guys are seeing? Is this what we're going into now? Is this what's happening? What do the insurance companies do here, knowing that this is suicidal if you take these things? And what about these people who have all this life insurance and health insurance and all this stuff, who are taking these doses of these jabs and getting boosters? At one point, they're going to be, or their families or whoever it is, are going to be wanting huge payouts here. I mean, this is an absolute classic. It's unbelievable to me. It is absolutely unbelievable what's going on here. How crazy would you have to be to go and get this stuff? In your arm. And if you do die from getting those jabs in your arm, well, you committed suicide, right? Thanks to the members for posting these. Some of them are good websites as well, because you get other links. This is a really interesting article as well, from the same publication. This is saying that Germany may have the army patrolling streets starting in October this year. Vision Times, Victor Westenkamp, August 15th. 2022, and it's October now. The German army will assist law enforcement starting October 1st, possibly resulting in platoons patrolling the streets and coinciding with the return of mask mandates for the unvaccinated only. Does anyone confirm this? That is deeply concerning. The Russian invasion of Ukraine has underlined the need to sign up the leadership organization of the armed forces more closely with requirements of national and alliance defense. Defense Minister Christine Lambrecht, whatever it says there, and Inspector General of the German Army, as well, wrote in a joint order of the day issued on June 13, "To this end, we have decided to set up a territorial command in Berlin on the 1st of October 2022. Document stated the command is directly subordinate to the Federal Ministry of Defense and is not part of an organizational area. It also said, among other things, the state commands the Homeland Security Forces and the Center for Civil Military Cooperation and subordinated to the command. Peace, crisis, war. So this is really weird, isn't it? What's going on in Germany? Dusting off the masks, what the military's tasks will entail can only be speculated. Still, the timing just happens to coincide with the renewal of mask mandates in public spaces and the possibility of extending the order outdoors if the circumstances demand. We were talking about this in the UK. So as the vaccines or the jabs start to poison off, millions and hundreds of millions of people get sick from the jabs, this creates their pandemic. And of course, if you're not vaccinated, you're not jabbed, you're a threat. But it's really the jabs that are killing people. This is the scam, you know. So this is the public spaces and the return of the mask mandates and the possibility of extending the order outdoors if the circumstances demand. But there's one catch. The mandate doesn't pertain to the vaccinated. They can just proceed as normal. Well, this is what Michael Gunner did in the Northern Territory. That is, if Health Minister Karl Lauterbach gets his way, Lauterbach has just finished his proposal for new legislation to replace the former temporary rule expiring on September 23. The draft for the new infection protection law is ready. FFP2 masks indoors from the beginning, exception detection tests and fresh vaccination or freshly recovered into gastro or similar, announced on the Twitter page there. Isn't this weird? A dress rehearsal here had already undertaken a dress rehearsal in June when several squads roamed the streets fully armed, scaring the daylights out of locals of a town in southern Germany. After the commander's orders have been issued, the soldiers on both sides of the road are moving on foot towards the police station, the army said in June 23rd press release. The command center said it was preparing for an impending mission in Mali, and they wanted to practice lifelike and realistic situations with urban warfare and practice possible violent encounters. We've been discussing this, eh? This was what was going on in Australia, and we were talking about on previous podcasts that they're doing urban warfare training in Australia and in Brisbane and around those areas. In Queensland, they're doing full-on urban warfare training. And in that video that we were discussing and I played on the podcast a while ago, they had people just acting and they were trying to break down a fence and the military were stopping them and all of this. Some observers were more concerned they were conditioning civilians to accept troops patrolling the streets and being checked for their credentials. Man, you know, this gives all of us an uneasy feeling as to what's coming next. You know, what's on their agenda? What are they planning next? What's coming? Here's another article from the same publication, and this matches up with what we were saying last night. If the CEO, the Jew, of Pfizer refuses to take his own COVID-19 jabs, God help you if you take the next shots. A visit by the CEO of pharmaceutical giant Pfizer next week was postponed due to the fact that Albert Bourla and his delegation are not yet fully immunized against COVID-19. So all these buddies haven't, I don't think they've, they, oh, well, I don't think, obviously they haven't had any. I remember this one as well. This is what we've been talking about. They haven't even had their own jabs. They haven't even had their own jabs. This is insane. Oh, boy. Moving on, let's have a look at Australian news. This was interesting one going back to Australia because if you're looking at the political side of things, this was from Spectator. This is the opposition leader, Peter Dutton. Now, Dutton has sided with Daniel Andrews in the culture wars. So Liberal supporters disappointed that Scott Morrison wasn't interested in fighting the cultural wars will be dismayed to discover that Peter Dutton seems intent on fighting them but for the other side. The opposition leader took time out from not opposing net zero madness to vilify orthodox Christian beliefs last week, describing Christian teaching on homosexuality and abortion as an abomination. Dutton's commentary on the Essendon Football Club's decision to part ways with the CEO because of his links to an Anglican church began well enough. He said the media and political pile on that forced Andrew Thorburn from the job he held for just 24 hours was an attack on religious freedom. Remember, and I was watching this the other night as well on Sky News. But then Dutton suddenly felt the urge to outdo Daniel Andrews in vilifying Christianity. No small feat. It was like Dutton having listened to Andrews deride Christianity as absolutely appalling because Andrews is a communist. And he told the Victoria Premier, hold my beer. The Liberal leader turned theologian told Sky News Australia, the views that have been expressed by a pastor at this church in relation to gay people or to the issue of abortion, they're an abomination and I condemn those points that have been made by that particular pastor. Tell me Christians with good friends like Peter Dutton who needs enemies like Daniel Andrews. No one can ever accuse the Liberals of playing to their base. These days they spit on it. I get that some Liberals, even the Liberal leader himself, might be pro-choice, but for the Liberal leader to declare it an abomination to believe the mysterious thing detected by the ultrasound in the pregnant woman's womb is actually a human being, I mean it's not a potato, Mr. Dutton. And I appreciate that some Liberals might want to join their inclusive, diversity-loving Labour colleagues at the front of the next Gay Pride parade, and then they can go all into the toilets there in Sydney and Darlinghurst and bum each other. By all means, Mr. Dutton, wave that rainbow flag like your political future depends on it, but to condemn the biblical view of sexuality is an abomination, just like you are, Dutton. If only the Conservative leader spoke in such strong terms about the maddening obsession with destroying the economy in pursuit of net zero emissions. If only he had condemned lockdowns and vaccine mandates as an abomination. Instead, Mr. Dutton saved his most virulent rhetoric since becoming Liberal leader to denounce Christian beliefs. In the sanctity of life and the supremacy of the traditional family unit, his choice of words was interesting. Christian views on sexuality were an abomination, Mr. Dutton said, and he condemned them. As Dr. David Van Gend pointed out so brilliantly in this week's Spectator Australia magazine, it was the lawgiver Moses who declared about 3,000 years ago that sodomy was an abomination. And it was the Savior Jesus who personifying both the law of God and the love of God perfectly all at the same time told the woman caught in sexual sin that even though she had sinned, he would not condemn her. The essence of Christianity then is clarity around ideas while exercising clarity toward people and especially toward those with whom we disagree. It is for the reason, for this reason, that Andrew Thorburn's pastor can believe homosexuality is wrong while warmly welcoming homosexuals. And it is for this reason that Andrew Thorburn can believe abortion is tantamount to murder, if indeed that it what that is what he believes, while working alongside women who have had abortions. But can Christians argue for the sanctity of life and the supremacy of the traditional family unit while belonging to one of the two major parties? Daniel Andrews reckons Christians' views are appalling, and Dutton reckons Christian views are an abomination. With Labour and the Liberals appearing to be on a unity ticket when it comes to condemning timeless Christian beliefs, and with 11 million Australians still prepared to identify as appalling and abominable, there are a lot of voters looking for a spiritual home in the next election. So we can see this creep, Peter Dutton, is just a slime bag, scumbag, piece of shit actor in the game of life. Another fucking zealot asshole. And this is the guy that's replaced old pedo ScoMo. You see, old pedophile ScoMo. Where's ScoMo gone? Well, he's gonna get another nice cushiony position. Because he's so highly compromised, and it's all to do with sex and sex with children. That's what these people are. So this guy, Peter Dutton, if anyone out there in Australia wants to support this guy, well, he is in bed with Daniel Andrews and fully supports him. Isn't that unbelievable, folks? Isn't that just sick? Aren't we living in a sick country where these political parties are just... the joke's on us, and they're all in bed together. You can see them just laughing here and holding their hands up on their faces so the public can't see them just laughing at us. And every three years or whatever it is, we all rock down and we vote for them and we think that we're getting change and we think that we live in a democracy and we're just being laughed at. And we are the joke. We are the joke for putting up with any of this. Absolute insanity. It's really disgusting indeed. And we are stuck in this vicious circle. And there doesn't seem to be any way out because the public just won't wake up to it. You know? I mean, if there's absolutely no way out, we're probably better under a Liberal government, but that's all I would say. It's really sad times to look where we are right now. It just doesn't seem to have gotten any better. This is a good article that went up all around the place, and get this one from Natural News, but it was put up on other platforms. Turns out that vaxxers are a global menace to themselves. First, the shilling folks at Pfizer and the CDC promised the nation that getting the Fauci flu jabs would flatten the curve, stop the spread, and end the pandemic. Remember? They said if 90% of the population got the COVID-19 jabs, then that 90% would be safe from the anti-vaxxers, who are a global menace, living in denial and danger. Surprise! The global menace turned out to be the vaxxers, who are dying at an insane rate. It's true. The triple vaxxed account for 94% of all the COVID-19 deaths, revealing that the real global menace is the Fauci flu jab itself. All those who got it push it and still believe it works even though they're dying and they're sick. The single worst thing that any person could have done for their health in 2020 and 2022 is take those jabs. According to official government report from the UK's Office for National Statistics, about 18 months were tracked during the pandemic, showing COVID-vaxxed children were 45 times more likely to die from any cause than unvaccinated children. Let that sink in for a minute. So by simply saying no to the COVID jabs, a child is more likely to be able to survive the so-called pandemic and a host of other life-threatening conditions. Sign up everybody's that's left and all the kids on the way for that plan. Sounds like the benefit of remaining fully unvaccinated far outweighs the risk of getting shot up with millions of toxic spike protein prions, but all the so-called anti-vaxxers and those labelled anti-science already knew that. In the same ONS report, the conclusions tell us that vaxxed children are also 137 times more likely to die from COVID-19, which isn't real, than those children who have natural immunity and never get the protein prion stab. So, you know, they're mixing things up here as well again, but it's just, they're telling you, these kids are 137 times more likely to die than just normal children who haven't had anything injected into them. And the COVID jabbed sheeple are jamming up the hospitals. We were talking about this on the podcast the other night. Now we are witnessing Americans who got the flu stabs seeking much more medical attention than the fully unvaccinated natural health advocates. Remember when the hospitals and fake news media claimed all the unvaccinated people were overcrowding the hospitals and the vaxxed masses couldn't get basic or emergency care in a timely manner? It was the only way around. The clot shots are causing many, many more critical health problems than just clots. Take a look. So they should call it the Vaccines Dangerous Program, but instead it's called the V-Safe Program, where the jabbed up masses are supposed to all go to report health damages incurred by getting at least one Fauci flu shot. Now, get this, over 70 million symptoms were reported from the 30% of people who got vaccinated who actually reported their problems to the V-Safe site. Out of 230 million people that got at least one COVID jab, that means that statistic, though it's already very scary, is most likely multiple times higher. So it's all the jabbed up sheeple. God, the jabbed up sheeple who are filling up the hospitals. Well, that's very obvious. The jabbed up sheeple are filling up the hospitals. In the waiting rooms, lying in the beds, getting diagnostics run, checking their hearts, wondering why all of a sudden they've got all these problems like myocarditis and pericarditis and strange rubbery vascular clots. Sciatica and COVID-19 multiple times, severe inflammation, allergies and cancer, and it goes on and on and on. They don't understand that they were okay before, going through all the years since they grew up and never had many health problems, and then they got the injections in their arm and now they've got all these problems and blood clots and problems with their heart, and they don't understand why it is, but they're filling up the medical system. So the most common symptoms of the vaccine-induced health damage that were reported to the V-Safe program include millions of people saying they were suffering post-vaccination from the chills, swelling, point, joint pain, muscle and body aches, headaches, fatigue and general pain. With over 4 million of these complaints marked as severe, you cannot make this shit up. The V-Unsafe program, as it should be termed, was also chock full of complaints regarding 13,000 toddlers under 2 with over 30,000 symptoms that included pain and loss of appetite and irritability. In conclusion, we're now approaching 1 million reported cases of Americans who, post-COVID vaccination, rush to get medical care. crowding up the hospitals while the media and the vaccine industrial complex blamed all the unvaccinated. What a hoax and a scam, now busted wide open. So it turns out that all those vax fanatics are a menace to themselves. When will they ever learn? So much for vaccine passports. It was all a lie to sell more toxic jabs. As we said, myocarditis, pericarditis, heart inflammation, problems with the heart muscle are going to go through the absolute roof on steroids, folks. It's coming. It's absolutely coming. And, you know, we talked about this on the show last night, didn't we? So much that, I know in Australia when the jabs were new here and people were didn't really want them, you know, they were telling you that the hospitals were overflowing with people who were sick from the virus, and they weren't, they were empty. And that was absolutely a fact. But now, a year later or nearly 2 years or a year and a half later or whatever it is, you know, and all these people are jabbed up. Now they're starting to trickle in, and now they're starting to fill the hospitals with all these weird conditions and heart-related issues and cancers and things going out of the roof. They've been poisoned, especially if you're looking at triple vaxxed and the people who are getting, you know, 3 and 4, I mean, boy, they're starting to get problems and health issues. And they're going to start filling up the medical system beds and chairs. And guess who's going to get the blame? We're going to get the blame. Of course we are. They're going to blame us because we're not vaccinated and we're causing it. That's their line. That's their trick. That's what they're going to do. This does worry me a little bit. Because this is how they're going to try and cover it, maybe, you know. This is how they're going to try and cover it. They're going to blame the unvaccinated. And what can they do? How far can they take this? Because they're going to say, you know, people are getting sick because of the unvaccinated. And we need to protect these people from them, you know. And how far will they take that? You know, it does concern me. It does concern me a bit, folks, I've got to say. But, you know, we move forward anyway, but they are vax fanatics, aren't they? And they are a menace to themselves. And when will they learn? Because this is a cult, and it's just absolutely unbelievable. And it's unbelievable to me to see how many of these occultists, these COVID-19 jab fanatics, they just simply will not accept the damage that is being caused by these jabs. They just don't want to accept it, and they don't want to look into it, and they just refuse. So be it, I guess. So be it, I guess. I'll be plugging out for this evening. Great to chat with you on the Night Watch podcast. Scott will be on in the morning for to continue into the next part of the podcast that we did last week. So it's going to be a big one, and lots to cover indeed. Going to be very interesting. I'll be up early for that, and we'll put that straight up for everybody out there. And interesting week of podcasting coming up, indeed. It's good that Johnny will be back on with me. God bless him. I'll be continuing the Night Watch podcast to go over all the latest anyway, as I always do. Keeping the website active, and thanks so much to you guys for your support. Great to have you on deck here in 2022 and supporting the Crazfiles website. I am here in Sydney, Australia. Can't do it without you guys. You're awesome. Contact me anytime through the website about anything. And I will be opening up the Night Watch podcast for any of the members as well. If you want to come on for a chat about anything, they will be a little bit shorter, but if you want to come on and have a chat, that is fine. I'll be contacting some people as well for a chat as we move forward to open up this Night Watch kind of platform as well, which is good, and plenty going up on the website. So take care, chat again soon.